Hello, everyone. Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let me get situated here. Can't decide if I'm, am I in frame? Chris moved all my stuff around, so I'm not really sure where I'm looking right now. All right. Let me get going here. I'll be looking for Coach Betsy to raise her hand so I can bring her on up. There we go. Sorry, I am a little bit on the y'all are the first people I've actually spoken words to today. So Coach Betsy is going to be on stage with me. She is going to be answering the questions and accept the questions that she thinks that I should just answer for everyone. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go over a few announcements real quick. Then we'll get started with Q&A with Corinne. So if you're new, hang on, I've got to get my notes up. If you're new to NoBS, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is what we call a Q&A call, which means that we have them on Wednesdays. I am usually your host every now and then. Corinne's got to go someplace or Logan needs his mama. But in general, Q&A days are with me. And they are either about a specific topic. So in NoBS, every month we have what we call the membership focus, which means that if you've already been through NoBS, this is what we focus on this month if you choose to work on that. We always have lots of things that anybody can work on at any time. We have self-paced courses all over the place. So if what we're focusing on doesn't work for you or isn't your like exact need in the moment, you can always go take another course. But usually we try to pick things that the majority of the people need. So this month we have all been focused on doing NoBS one more time. So if you're new, you just go through NoBS like you usually do. This particular call, we are going to be focused on module 4 of NoBS. We have been doing what's called Mission Possible this month. And I have exciting news. You bitches did good last week. So we have unlocked the next level prize, which is the Peloton treadmill or bike. You have until this Sunday to finish NoBS, to do your hashtag get it done, hashtag repeats, to go all the way up to the top of the goal getters gauge. If y'all max out, then there's going to be an accountability group that's going to get the ultimate weekend getaway for relationship camp weekend, where we are going to get you an air. We're going to help you guys get an Airbnb. Everybody will get to come to virtual camp, all the things. So that's the next big prize. Continue to use hashtag get it done, hashtag repeat. I do want to make this little change for just the rest of this week. When you check in the Facebook group, because now we're at the end, I want you to tell the biggest aha you've had. So you can either say like the biggest aha I had this week, here's what I learned. It can be a sentence. You can write a manifesto of amazement. I don't care how you do it. What I do want to see though is what y'all are learning, what's making a difference, how you're applying, all the things. So if you will do that, I have been in the group. If you don't notice, there's been a lot of Corinne liking things and stuff. I'm looking at a lot of y'all's comments because I will be using all this as feedback for when we want to elevate and change and up-level the course for the beginning of next year. So do that and that will be awesome. We also have our final implementation call for the worksheets this Saturday with Coach Yesenia. That will be, I had it on here somewhere, 10:30 a.m. Central Time on the 29th. It'll be the Module 4 worksheets. So this is good to know that we have every Saturday, we have been doing the NoBS worksheet implementation calls. That means that at any time, if you want to go back through NoBS, or maybe you're listening to this and you're brand new and you're like, well, I wish somebody would go through the worksheets with me. All you got to do is go to the replays on the website. And you just watch the video in like for you, that is lifetime. And you just do the work right alongside Coach Yesenia or Coach Judith or who or Coach Julie's done a call. Anybody that has done a call, you're just going to watch them. And that's how you're going to get your worksheets done. It's just a good way for you to feel engaged in the content. This week, Module 4 is all about staying on track for life. So if you have questions along staying on track for the rest of your life, please go ahead and start putting those in the Q&A now. And then we will be sending out on Sunday the link for the survey for you to qualify for the prizes. So make sure you check your newsletter. I'm sure it will be on a banner on the website. I'm sure we will post it in the Facebook groups. You ain't going to miss it. So just make sure that you're on the lookout for it. As long as your brain is like, did I check my email this week? Did I get anything from No BS? Did I read my newsletter? Have I logged into the website? Have I been to the Facebook group? You do any of those things, you're going to find it, because we're going to make it bold ass obvious for you. Not going to make it like a scavenger hunt for you to find your survey. You don't have to have hashtagged anything, but we do ask you that if you went through No BS, we want you to take the survey. And then from all the people that take the survey, to say that I finished and here's what I thought, that's where we're going to draw for the prizes. So you'll have from Sunday to Tuesday night to get your survey submitted. And then next month, I want to make sure that you know what's coming. So if you didn't check your email, go do that after this call. We sent out the monthly newsletter, I believe it was yesterday, talking about what's coming up in February. So when I was thinking about this year, I really wanted to like do some things that helped you just kind of keep moving along your journey. And I thought about, all right, when everybody finishes No BS, it's obviously going to be a lull. That is always what happens. Your brain is now normalizing to the mission possible. The initial enthusiasm is wearing off like it always does. That's called normal. That is not something wrong with you. That is not something for you to be like, oh my God, send the alarm. Something's wrong with me. I should be more excited. I should be just wanting to naturally bust through the doors of No BS like the Kool-Aid man to push play on videos. I should every morning have fire blowing out my ass as I run to my planner to craft my day. That is not how life works. You have a human brain that's supposed to tamp your shit down. We ain't supposed to be running 90 to nothing every minute of our lives. So like when you start going through the course, you're supposed to normalize to it. You're supposed to just like do things because you said you would. That is called a skill to develop. Not, I gotta wait to be motivated, to feel like it, to want to do it, and then I can do it. And if I'm not like motivated, if I don't feel like it, then I just can't. That is the biggest problem with weight loss. Y'all would never tolerate that out of the other people in your life. For all of you coming to Relationships Camp weekend, I've been writing all the content. And I'll tell you right now, some of the worst issues y'all have in relationships is, one, you got a shitty one with yourself. And when you have a broken relationship with yourself, I want you to think about, if you judge yourself, if you criticize yourself, if you blow your own mistakes out of proportion, if you're always on the hunt for how you've done it wrong, guess what you're training your brain to do? The same shit with everybody else. You are judging people for bullshit reasons. Just like you will look at Junior over there or Little Miss, and they're like 9 years old, and you're pissed that they don't respect you more. Like, you know, Corinne, I asked them to take out the trash, and do you know that they roll their eyes and they don't want to? All I expect is for everybody to just be so thankful for me. I work so hard. I don't know why I can't get no help. And then when I want to take out the trash, they don't want to. And then y'all take it like it's a personal offense. Rather than being like, they're 9. You don't want to take the fucking trash out. You want them to do it. But for some reason, you want them to be elated and excited and be like, thank you, mommy, for all your hard work. I am very happy to go take out the trash. You have completed my life's mission. It's a no. But we don't look at things like that. We just work ourselves up all the fucking time. And then we wonder why we're stress eating at the end of the day. So one of the things you got to understand is that like, we don't tolerate out of other people not wanting to do things when they're not excited about homework, making the bed, when your partners aren't excited to like sit and listen to you bitch about that asshole at work who's trying to tear you apart, bring you down, your mortal enemy that sits in the cube next to you, you get mad. And it's like, humans don't want a lot of times. Humans aren't willing a lot of times. A lot of times we're all just sitting around though, making the mistake of thinking we gotta want to, we gotta do all these things all the time. It's like, no. So when you really understand that the relationship with you first is one of the most important things, it's easier to work on the relationship with other people because you're not like a hyena on the prowl to judge, criticize, make shit mean something terrible about you. So the reason why I say all this is because it's fucking normal to be coming to the conclusion of January when you were coming off the thrills of the January 2nd workshop and you just thought, everything's going to change for me. This is my year. Nothing's going to get in my way. I'm so excited. And then 2 weeks later, when everything in the world is exactly the same and you didn't change your mindset about it, you let little bullshit things annoy you all the time. You had judgments about people. You're constantly criticizing others. You're hard on yourself every single time you turn around. You wonder why you lose your enthusiasm. You wonder why everything normalizes. You wonder why, like, the only thing that happened in the beginning of January at our workshop, and the only thing that happened through Mission Possible, is your focus changed. You got excited. You started focusing. I don't know what is wrong with this cord, but it is keeps jerking on my back. Pull it around. All you did was change your focus, shift where you think. You were focused on possibility. You were focused on what could change. You weren't focused on all your bullshit. But then what happened is your brain just normalized. And then everything else that you didn't change, that you just smoked, like just covered and glossed over with your enthusiasm for something new, is back. So the key isn't to think something's gone wrong. The key is to listen to that and to be like, okay, now the real stuff is presented. Now it's time to work on those things so I can move forward. So one of the things that we're doing in February is we're doing big ass action. I rewrote the whole damn program, top to bottom. Everything is brand spanking new. That program was one of the most popular programs that we ever did inside of No BS, and I wanted to take it to another level. So Big Ass Action is going to teach you how to do things when you don't want to. It's going to teach you how it's normal for things to lose their enthusiasm and what do you do about that, and more. So if you're the kind of person who half-asses, starts off with a bang and fizzles out, or you're the kind of person who's like, I'm doing good and I'm afraid I'm going to do that, I want to keep my momentum going, that is the exact program for you. And we will be doing it all together in February. And we've added a bonus to it. We're going to put on top of it a move your body challenge. Now, you all know, I do not have as one of the basics exercise for a reason. It has nothing to do with your weight loss. But what exercise can do for you is teach you how to show up when you don't want to, how to create a new habit, how to challenge your belief that you hate it, how to try something and then allow yourself to see what you want to think about it versus going into it with all your preconceived notions of, I'm too old, I don't like it, it sucks, I don't have time, it always hurts. I mean, y'all got 1,000 reasons why. And so we're going to put a movement challenge in next month. You don't have to do it. It's always optional. But the cool thing is that we've wrote it in such a way to where anybody with any physical condition can do it. We have a member here named Jill, Jill R., who she started with me way back in the day. She's lost 150 pounds. She had type 2 diabetes. And she was in a wheelchair and had like feet problems and stuff. And so when she joined NoBS, she knew she wanted to lose weight and she really wanted to participate in some kind of movement. It was a big deal to her. And she reached out in Facebook one day, and I think I coached her. I'm not 100% sure. She might've done it on a Q&A, But she and I kind of talked about this idea of don't let anything, including a wheelchair and a foot you can't put pressure on and diabetes and 150 extra pounds, stop you. What could we be doing? And I remember posting and sending her links to chair yoga. And that's what she did. And she taught herself that her body was more capable than what she gave it credit for. She taught herself that if she was focused and shutting down all the bullshit thinking, she could move. That helped her challenge her beliefs about being able to say no to something at night when she was feeling sorry for herself. It challenged her beliefs that at over 300 pounds, that she couldn't lose weight. Because if she could do this, what else could she do? That's what exercise did for me. It was something that I had always wanted to do and never believed that I could do it. I was the girl that was benched in PE, like literally. How does that even happen? To where the PE teachers tell you, you're too big and you're too slow. The kids don't want you on the team. So sit this one out. That's a hard message for someone who's like 11. I'll never forget Miss Avancic. Lord, I hope the lady is like, never going to join no BS because I just called her out. But still, I'll just never forget those times. I'll never forget being so embarrassed that I was singled out from all the other kids, that I was just too out of shape to do anything, like sports or anything. And when I decided I wanted to lose weight, the first thing I picked was walking. I knew I wasn't ready to give up my food. But I was ready to do something. And so for all of you, when I do movement challenges, we don't do many of them. But when we do anything around movement, it's because I really believe in it. I don't need y'all going out and conquering the world and doing two-a-days and hours of power and all that kind of stuff. I think exercise is important so that we connect with our body. We learn how to push ourselves, and we also learn how to take recovery. There's so many good lessons involved when you learn how to move your body. And that is what translates to weight loss. It's not the calories that you burn and how much you sweat and anything. That's not what causes the weight loss, because anybody can out-eat what they burn. Too many of us have tried that. We got women in this group right now that are like, I work out like a boss. Like a fucking boss every single day, but I don't eat like a boss along with it. The point of exercise has nothing to do with, is it going to get your weight off? So don't listen to the diet industry on that. So we will have a Move Your Body Challenge next month. And then last Saturday was the very first pre-camp call that we had with Coach MJ. If you've not signed up for camp, you still can. There are, I think there's 78 slots left for in-person, and then that will be sold out. Virtual does not sell out. We've got over 1,000 people already signed up for the virtual camp experience. Make sure that if you want to come to Relationships Weekend, that you go to the website, nobswomen.com, and you check out all the information. I've got a video over there. We've got all the information about what we're going to cover. You're also going to see in the next few weeks that I am going to be dropping some of the content into our Facebook group. So I will be creating a few posts where I am going to, and we'll probably send my content out in email for all of you who are not in Facebook. So don't freak out like, oh my gosh, I won't know what y'all are talking about. I've been writing the content, and what I want to do is so that you have a really good idea about what we're going to cover. I want to give you a little bit of what I've been writing. Number one, if you can't come to camp for Relationships Weekend, do not worry. Some of the things that I'll drip out, it might help you. So make sure you read it. Don't sit there and read it like, oh my God, I can't go. This is terrible. No, read it and be like, I'm so glad Corinne's the kind of person that will share some content that she is asking other members to come to Nashville or go to virtual camp and learn. You could always look at it that way. It's just like those people that sit on the outside of No BS, bitching and moaning that they're not a member when they've got 300 fucking podcasts they could be listening to. It's like, don't be that person. Don't be the person on the outside looking in, moaning and whining. Be the person who takes every ounce of goodness and capitalizes and maximizes it. Be that person. Train yourself to be that person. So I will be slowly like putting some of the things in there. I just finished writing yesterday, really good section. We're going to be talking about on day one, all about our relationship with ourselves. And I'm going to be teaching all of you the difference between influencing other people and trying to control other people. And then also the difference between influencing yourself and trying to control yourself. Control is where we backfire. Influence is where we come at it from love, where we come at it from change and becoming the person we want to be. Control is where we come at it from judgment, criticism, and a painful desire for things to be different before you feel different. Influence comes from love and compassion and belief so that you start feeling differently so you can become someone differently. It is brand new stuff and so good. And I can't wait to teach y'all. All right. We had 12 new members. So, oh, by the way, those pre-camp calls, if you've missed the first one, you always can watch the replays when you sign up for camp. You'll get access to the private camp Facebook group and the private camp Facebook membership page, where all the digital assets will be there, the digital swag, the goodies, the replays of the pre-camp and post-camp calls where MJ and Kathy are working with y'all. And there will be some other little things that we're going to do all the way up until relationships camp to make sure you're primed and ready to hit the ground running. We had 12 members join the Queen's Club this week. We had Jennifer DeSarno. This was Why She Loves Being an OBS Woman. This is a community of support, like a giant hug. Not only can I eat my favorite foods without counting anything, but I have a support system at the touch of a button to help with my weight loss needs. There's Corinne, the coaches. There are members on Facebook. There's my journal. There are the workshops, the podcasts, and more. I've lost 30 pounds since I officially joined, and I've lost 70 pounds total because I started listening to the podcast first. So congratulations, Jennifer, and all of our other new Queen's Club members. If you don't know what the Queen's Club is, head on over to nobswomen.com, log into the membership site, look for it on the menu, and read all about it. All right. First question of the day. I've noticed that when I hit certain mini goals, I tend to self-sabotage. Why do I do this? Number one, one of the reasons why we self-sabotage when we hit a goal is it can be tapping on an insecurity. So let's say that you set a goal to lose 2 pounds this week and you lose 2 pounds this week. If you have this thought that every time I lose weight, I always gain it back. If that's like your general thought about losing weight, it's like every time I lose, I self-sabotage. Every time I lose, I eat. Every time I lose, I gain it back. Then when your brain actually sees that happen, it freaks out. Think about the feeling that's associated with those thoughts. Shit. Bullshit. None of them feel good. Hopeless, scared, blah, blah, blah. Well, if that's the only thing you're allowing yourself to think about mini goals is what bad things will happen, then when you hit a goal, it triggers your brain to automatically send up the bad thing thought. And along with the thought comes the feeling. So you'll hit a goal, and most of us think that we're supposed to feel great, but we'll hit a goal and we'll be like, well, that's good. But it's like that nervous excitement, that feeling good with hesitation. That's a signal to you. Now, the solve is really easy. Stop thinking that when I hit goals, I self-sabotage. Start saying, when I hit goals, I need to start now planning. What do I want to believe about goals? What do I want to believe about, like, I want to be the kind of person that when I hit a mini goal, that I know that it's a product of how I got there. Like, you could always just change your working definition around goals. Right now, many goals equal self-sabotage. You could start working on, and when I say working on, all I mean is open a damn journal. Seriously, if y'all saw my good notes in my iPad, I have got all kinds of pages and pages and pages of me writing every single day about how I want to think and feel about things. So you would open your journal each day. If that's like, if I could think about, like, if there's one thing that I can work on right now, it would be that when I hit a mini goal, that I keep going. Like, that's what I would like to see myself do. Notice how I'm talking about it. How do I want to see myself show up? This person just wants to know, why the fuck do they do it? That's fine. But what a lot of y'all do is you want to dig around and you're like, oh, okay, that's why I do it. Most of the time, knowing why you do something is not that important. It may offer a little relief, like, oh, that makes sense. But even if it makes sense, it doesn't change the outcome for you. And that is a big mistake I see a lot of y'all do. You're so on the hunt for, like, why am I fuck up? Why do I self-sabotage? Why do I overeat? Why? It just sucks. And I can tell you all the reasons. And you might be like, oh, that makes so much sense. But then the next time it happens, nothing changes because you know why. You'll be like, yep, here I am doing it again because I keep believing that, you know, I'm a self-sabotager. Like, this is why it's more important to not really focus on why, but to understand, what do I want? So if you notice a pattern of, like, I'm hitting these mini goals and notice that I'm self-sabotaging, what do I actually want to do when I hit mini goals? What would I like to see myself do? And remember our think, feel, do cycle. It's not enough to declare an action that you want to take. So for example, if you lose 2 pounds in a week, which is very doable for the majority of you, 1 to 2 pounds a week is doable. Y'all, this is, all right, here's a diversion. Stop saying we lose weight slow inside of no BS. I have read that so many times. Y'all are using no BS as a justification to hang on to overeating patterns. We're not losing weight slow here. You know what we're doing? We're uncovering the things you need to stop doing in order to lose your weight. That's not called slow. That's called getting there for the long haul. That doesn't make us slower than Weight Watchers. I guarantee you, nobody on Weight Watchers is losing weight faster than anybody over here. Nobody on keto or Optavia or whatever bullshit y'all are saying are losing weight faster than y'all. Here's the difference. They're following and committing to whatever they're doing. They may not be doing it from a great mindset. They may be forcing themselves to do it. They may be doing that stuff, but that's the only difference between you and them. Is they're making a decision to do it? You're making a decision not to. Just because you're drinking shakes doesn't mean that it's easier to say no to other foods. They may be telling themselves, I can't break this. I've spent too much money. Or they may be saying things like, I got to do it because everybody's watching me. They may be putting pressure on themselves. Who knows? But y'all got to quit saying that we lose weight slow in no BS. We lose weight for the long term. And if you want to speed up your weight loss, you ain't got to be restrictive, but you got to be honest. Just because I give you a discovery worksheet, this is what I love. I share with, like, I don't really want to do anything restrictive. So I'm craving chocolate again. I'll just do a discovery worksheet and then be confused as to why your weight loss is slow. It's because you're using the discovery worksheet as an excuse to overeat. It's like, no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to do a discovery worksheet. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen to the bullshit of my brain that's saying I should eat chocolate. I'm going to figure out, why do I want the chocolate right now? What could I, like, if I want it because I'm stressed out, then rather than go get the chocolate and do a discovery worksheet, that is a long ass way to not be stressed, and it doesn't get you the result you want. And then you're stressed later because you're doing all these discovery worksheets and thinking, I don't know why nothing's changing. You sit there and you say, like, no, that is not how you use discovery worksheets. You do not use them as a reason to overeat. You tell yourself, no, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to figure out why it's so hard. What's going on in my brain that's making this hard for me? And I'm going to write about that. I don't need a discovery worksheet. I need a blank piece of paper. I need my journal. Why am I making it so hard right now to not eat? Why am I so stressed? Let me get to my root causes. Let me just give y'all, I don't know if I've ever said this, but this will make sense. The discovery worksheet is for when your overeating happened without your permission. The discovery worksheet is for when your overeating happened without your permission. It is not for you giving yourself permission to overeat and then learning from it. No. If you do give yourself permission to overeat, then I don't want you to tell yourself, I'll just do a discovery worksheet and I'll overeat. This is what I want you to do. I want you to tell yourself the truth. Right now, I'm going to eat because I'm not in a mental space to tell myself no, even though no is a complete option for me. I am totally choosing to overeat in this moment. Period. And then if you want to go and journal about it and you want to do a discovery worksheet, that's fine. But I want all of you to quit telling yourselves that you can just do a discovery worksheet. A discovery worksheet is not going to stop your overeating. You know what a discovery worksheet does? It gives you insight into the excuses and justifications and the things that were going on that led to the overeat, but it doesn't stop them. There's only one thing that stops overeating. You making a decision and not putting your hand in your mouth. That is the only way. So, journal about how you want to think about things. When it comes to when you hit goals, what do you want to be telling yourself when you hit goals? Right now, you're telling yourself, I always self-sabotage. Right now, you tell yourselves the reasons why you do it. Think about, when I lose 2 pounds, what is the first thing I want to tell myself? What's the first thing I want to tell myself? What is it like going back to the think, feel, do cycle? When I lose a pound or two, when I do a full week of journaling, when I write a plan every day for 7 days, and that was my goal, what do I want to do next? If it's keep going, if it's, you know, celebrate in my head, whatever it is, say like, all right, that's the do line of the think, feel, do cycle. That can't happen unless I change my mindset about it. So I am going to need to think, when I hit a goal, I worked for this. I deserve my own praise. I don't deserve a cookie. I'm not a dog. I don't get treats for good behavior. I'm a human. When I do what I say I do, I don't need a cupcake parade. What I do need is to tell myself, I knew you could do it. You planned for this. You followed through. This is what it's going to take to get to our goals. You're proven to yourself. You're a new person, you're thinking differently, and you're acting differently. This is what it's all about. That's how you get out of that mindset. All right, next question. Now that I'm paying attention, I realize my most common issue. I do one more thing and one more thing all day long. I'm ignoring my body's needs. By the end of the day, I'm so worn out and beat down that I need all kinds of treats to revive myself. I'm trying to cut back on the one more things, but so far, all I've been able to catch myself is in the process of doing it. There's two things. This kind of goes back to the last thing we were talking about. Number one is, it's a good idea. Like, if you notice that all day long you're ignoring your body's needs, like there's no breaks, there's no rest, you're constantly adding one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. One immediate stopgap to help you is to be like, I acknowledge that I'm not treating myself very well. I acknowledge that I want to be the kind of person who is, you know, doing things because she believes in herself. She's not just doing things because she has to do something, because she's convinced herself, I have to do this because so-and-so will think this. I'll let them down. I'll get behind. I want to be the kind of person who changes that hustle, overwhelm, and burnout mentality. And I want to turn myself into the kind of person who says, I'm going to do these things because I said I would. And I'm going to do some of these things I'm going to slow my roll on, because what I'm learning is how to take care of me while getting really important shit done in my life. So one, you got to make a thought switch, because what you're noticing is just not doing. This is what happens for a lot of us, especially overwhelmers, hustlers, and like people, perfectionists do this, burnout people do this. When we start taking away the things, if we haven't switched our mindset, like if we're still thinking about who we're letting down, like a lot of times when you're adding one more thing, one more thing, one more thing, it's because you don't want to be scared of what other people might think. You don't want to let people down. There's a lot of pain involved. So you keep yourself busy. So you don't have to think about all that. Then when you're like, man, that's killing me. I'm noticing my nervous system's frayed. I have to come home. I eat like a son of a bitch. Like I'm drinking to numb myself. Like I'm drinking to bring myself down after a day of cortisol and adrenaline. In the morning, I'm redlining caffeine to get myself back up so I can just go, go, go all day. You kind of notice that. You're like, no way to live. I can't take this no more. I'm going to have to like say no to some stuff. So you do. The only thing is you didn't change your mindset. You just got burned out to the point where you just absolutely couldn't do that anymore. But when you take those things away in the space, it's like, I didn't do what that thing. I bet everybody's going to think I'm not as good. It's like, well, I watch Sally. She's over there just getting after it and accomplishing. I wonder what everybody's now thinking about me. Your mind will run away with you. That's why it's important to change the mindset, not just what you do. So for you, one of the things that you'll need to do is that as you get things done, I would put in some space to also congratulate yourself, to say like, I don't need external validation. I need internal validation. That will help you not sink so low. I think as you're taking things out, you want to listen to what you think about when you don't have as much to do, and you want to challenge those thoughts. We are going to do some of that in Relationships Weekend. One of the things we're going to be talking about in the very first class on Saturday morning is loving people when it's hard. And that starts with loving you when it's hard. And so we're going to be talking a lot about that. And one of the things that I was writing this morning is that, you know, very often what we do is we sit around and we don't have a great relationship with ourselves. So when we have space, we talk to ourselves like an asshole. And if you watch, you'll mirror that asshole talk everywhere you go. Like if you're hard on yourself, like if let's say you judge yourself all the time, you'll go to work, you'll judge your coworkers so that you don't have to judge you. In the quiet moments, if you're criticizing yourself, guess what you're doing? You go to work and you get busy, or you go to, say you take your kids to school, you'll be criticizing what the other moms are and aren't doing, who's helping and who's not, what the teacher does and doesn't do, to turn down the criticism, self-criticism. So we just do a lot of energy in like all that kind of stuff. And that is what ends up depleting us by the end of the day. So it's really helpful for you to not only turn down some of the, like, just notice the pattern of ignoring your physical needs when you're fraying your nervous system and stuff and saying like, I probably have time to go to the bathroom. I don't need to tell myself, let me get one more thing done and be doing the pee-pee dance in my chair, ignoring my own bladder, saying my physical needs are not as important as this extra thing on my to-do list. It's like, no, teach your body, teach your nervous system that you take care of it and say, I can do this when I get back. I've got plenty done. Like this, sometimes it just takes a good conversation with yourself. And I'm going to go to the bathroom because it's time. My body is saying it just needs to go to the bathroom. And you just do that. So that is another way to kind of start conditioning yourself. The last thing you said, and I want to teach this because this is really important. I've taught this several times, so y'all bear with me. We're going to do it one more time. I don't think it can be repeated enough. Is I'm trying to cut back on the one more things. So that's one option. Second option is, or the second thing is to also make sure that you're changing the conversations that you're doing, that you're listening to, like as you start having physical needs throughout the day, start responding to them and changing the conversation around it, making sure that you're rewarding yourself mentally. Like most of y'all just do one more thing, one more thing. And at the end of the day, you're like, thank God I got through the day. Now let me make my plans for tomorrow. Like, just take some time. I do this every single day. Every day, I write down what I'm proud of, what I accomplished today. I do an assessment every day. And then one of the questions at the top is, this is on my business side. So I do the No BS Planner. I give you a space in there to write the three things you did right today on the assessment page. When in my personal journal, one of the things I ask myself is, did I get more or less accomplished? Did I get more or less done today than I thought I would? And why? And I just answer it every day. And then the question right after that, most days, what I realize is I get way more done than what I thought I would. But if I'm not answering that question, I always think I didn't get enough done. My default belief that my brain wants to offer up is you didn't do enough today. Just like yesterday, I'm going to tell y'all, I worked so hard on content for a variety of things yesterday that when I ended the day, I laid in my bed and I told Chris, I'm winded. Like I had shallow breathed and was so focused and in adrenaline state all day long that when I sat down, I couldn't catch my breath. I was borderline hyperventilating. And it took my nervous system about 20 or 30 minutes to just settle into a rhythm. That's like good information to know for all of you. Because if you don't dial into how your body is responding to your own stress and stuff, your default will think something's wrong. And what I told myself is nothing's wrong. I did a lot today. The adrenaline and cortisol is working its way out of my system. My body doesn't know yet that we've ended. My mind knows we're done, but my body doesn't yet. So I had to tell myself, we're just going to sit here. And we're not going to think about work. We're not going to do that stuff. I'm going to let my brain just think whatever it wants to, but I'm just going to remind it that we're settling in. We're done for the day. And I started journaling and I just wrote like, what am I proud of? What did I accomplish today? And my nervous system all started coming back down. I think for a lot of you, you need to realize that because y'all go, go, go all day long. You walk in the door. And just because you're at home, it doesn't mean that your body knows how to shut it down. It needs a lot of times 20 or 30 minutes of decompression. Now, that doesn't mean you have to lay in bed. It means you could play with your kid. You could call your grandbabies. You could check in with someone. You can just sit and watch TV. You can wash dishes. There's a lot of times for me to wind down from work, I go to the kitchen and I clean things up because I like a clean kitchen. My boys, they don't give a fuck about a clean kitchen. I think they'd be just as fine as long as there's not ants, they're good. That's their protocol for a clean kitchen. No bugs, we're all right. Doesn't matter how sticky everything is and how many dishes are sat. So it's like one of those things where sometimes at night, I like to just clean up the kitchen and tidy it because it's doing something different than I've been doing all day long. I don't sit there and think like, they should be helping. I'm too tired. I shouldn't have to do the chores. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I could be pissed and judgy and criticize and have a lot, make it mean the kitchen's dirty, that nobody loves mama and underappreciates her. Or I could just be like, I've had a long day. I like a clean kitchen. This is how I'm going to unwind. I'm going to put in some music and I'm going to clean up my kitchen. And it is a gift I'm giving to myself. Now, you don't have to do that. That might not be your love ode to you. But the point of it is always watching your mind and noticing, how can I give to myself? So many of the things that we do anyway in our lives, everything you do, you're choosing ultimately. I just want you to choose from the way that you benefit the most. I want you to stop choosing because you think you have to. It's forced upon you. Nobody else would do it. If I didn't do it, it's like, yeah, nobody else would do it if you didn't do it. They are all okay with a dirty kitchen. Laundry stack, wearing underwear 3 times in a row. They're actually feeling real good about it. You're the one that doesn't feel good about it. So either do the work or decide to let them feel good and you let your bullshit expectations go so that you feel all right. I'm just saying, if y'all gonna wash clothes and do dishes and do all that shit, at least have a good attitude for yourself. Now, that doesn't let everybody else off the hook. You know, very often, if the kitchen's a hot wreck and I don't want to do it, I tell the boys, the kitchen is a hot wreck and I'm not doing it. I'm not. And they're like, okay. I'm like, good, I'll be in bed. Sometimes they said, this morning I walked into the bedroom, Chris made the bed. I've never asked him to make the bed. I did tell him a few weeks ago that I was going to start making the bed every morning because I like seeing the bed made. And I just started doing it quietly. And then one day I looked at him, I said, you know what's funny? You're the last one out of the bed and yet you never make the bed. I said, I'm fine with doing it. I said, but wouldn't it be cool if last one out was the one who made it? And he was like, yeah, he said something like, yeah, that'd be cool, but I don't like making the bed. And I was like, that's all right. I was like, I'll grab it when I take a shower then. I swear to God, I walk in there this morning, bed's made. I didn't have to nag. I didn't have to get pissed. I didn't have to feel like I'm doing all the work. I didn't have to criticize him. I didn't have to yell. We didn't have to have a night of, back-to-back sleeping, cold shouldering. I didn't have to go to the couch. I didn't have to do any of that stuff. So those are things to think about. All right. Let me teach this process. What do you do when all you're doing is sitting around noticing now the behaviors you're trying to stop? So I call this the phases of change for all of you. What are the phases of change? So what we do is we all are being taught here in No BS things like to stop eating at enough, wait for hunger, make a 24-hour plan, don't reward eat at night. Basically, pay attention to your habits. Pay attention to your patterns. And what y'all do is you get really good at paying attention to the patterns. And so when you notice a pattern, you think just because you've identified it's a problem, or that you've noticed a pattern, it's like, well, why haven't I stopped? I know it's making me gain weight. I know it's not working for me. I don't get why my brain didn't just, like, somebody didn't just sneak into my bedroom, perform a lobotomy, remove the part of my brain that wants to do that, and I'm good. Y'all, that is not how it works. Y'all got to stop wishing and wanting to be able to identify a pattern that doesn't work anymore and just be like, oh, and now I've magically changed for the rest of my life. Your brain goes through phases of change. So phase one is called waking the fuck up. So you start noticing patterns. About 20%. Sorry. Hang on. Something went down the wrong way. Let's see if we can get through this. Woo! A big old something went down the wrong way. All right. So here's what happens. I notice that I'm eating past enough. This is a pattern. It always happens at dinner. Okay, good to know. Now, what happens is 20% of the time, you're going to be able to stop. 20% of the time, you're going to notice it, be able to stop, because you're like, oh, yeah, I'm done. 80% of the time, you're going to blow right through the stop sign. You're running the red lights. Like, no stop, like, no cop, no stop. That's basically your life. That's normal. That's called the first phase. So as your brain starts getting more alert to a pattern, it starts to look for it. It starts noticing it more. But because you've done it for so long, the old habit, the old signal from the brain, it just happens fast. You just kind of roll on through. You're completing the old think, feel, do cycle. That's okay. If you don't sit there and bitch, moan, and gnash your teeth and think something's gone wrong, you stay focused and think, all right, it's good to know. I'm noticing it when it's happening. Now what I want to do is I want to work on, I don't want to quit noticing. I want to actually think about what do I need to do in order to stop and then get myself to where 20% of the time I can and 80% of the time, probably not going to notice, probably still going to choose the old way. That's great. If you keep doing that, you will naturally, without having it to be hard, unless you're judging yourself and criticizing, if you drop the judgment and the criticism of yourself, which means somebody asks, like, how do you stop being so critical of yourself? It's real easy. When you hear yourself talking bullshit, say, stop. We're not doing that anymore. Like, literally, that's all that has to happen. You don't need a four-step process. You don't need anything other than to say, like, I don't talk to myself like that anymore. Moving on. If you're criticizing somebody else in your brain, you're like, oh, not supposed to be criticizing other people. It just makes me feel like shit. I don't even have to think glorious things about them. I'm just choosing not to think negative things. That's all you got to do. So second phase comes along. What you notice is that as long as you're not criticizing and judging yourself, you start stacking a few more times of like, now that I'm noticing and stopping, I'm seeing about 40% of the time, I'm starting to do it a little more. The 60% of the time, I'm still missing it, still having times I don't notice. So what I want to do is I want to focus on the 60% and think about, all right, what could I do? Are there any patterns there? Are there any distractions there? What could I do in order to work on that? This is called momentum phase. It's called momentum phase because you're picking up steam. You're getting about 40% of the time some like easy progress. 60% of the time, look for new patterns. Look for other little nuances. Maybe like you've noticed you all, like your first thing that you're working on is stopping at enough at dinner. And 40% of the time you notice you can do it, but the 60% of the time that you're not really able to do it, it's when days when your kids eat with you. Or it's the times when y'all have certain foods. Or it's like, look for like, what makes that 60%? Is there anything unique about that? So I can put my brain to focus there. All right. So when you're in momentum, the next thing that happens is you start noticing 60% of the time you're actually doing it. You're noticing more often you do it, but about 40% of the time now, you're still not. This is called the make or break stage. This is where I see y'all lose hope. This is where shitty thinking enters like the Michelin man. And you got to be watching for it. Because a good part of the time, you're not giving yourself enough credit. More times than not, I'm stopping. So if I just keep looking at the 40% and figuring out what's unique about the 40%, this is where discovery worksheets come in handy. This is where Ask Coaches come in handy. What's unique about that 40? As long as I put my energy and focus there, I'm going to be able to keep going. The last phase is called habit phase. You're not having to think so hard about it. 80% of the time, most of the time, you're doing whatever it is that you set out to do. So if you wanted to stop at enough, you notice that stopping at enough at dinner, almost 80% of the time, you're doing it without even having to think about it. Like, you're not having to sit there and be like, is that the sigh? What's my belly doing? Like, you're not having to do that. You're just like in this natural rhythm. 20% of the time, though, you still notice you don't want to, whatever. That 20% is usually going to be there with you forever. That's going to be your automatic thinking. That's the hardest to let go. But that doesn't mean that it will keep you from losing weight. You can manipulate the 20%. You might find that that 20, you'll get better at some of it. You'll find that that 20, that you'll solve something and another thing will pop up. And that's okay. That is okay. I don't have numbers, but I have my gut. And my gut tells me that success stories are 80-20 on most things. 80% are better on their habit trackers, on their numbers, when they're being real honest. 20% still doing stuff. But they get really good at the 20% minimizing it. So like they used to, when they would like notice that they are going to stop it enough and they don't do it, they fuck it, eat for a day or two. They eventually get to where that 20% is, I ate past enough, but it was more nowadays, eating past enough for me is like, okay, I had an extra serving. I'm going to work on that. And they don't let it snowball into, fuck me, I ate past enough. Well, now I'm just going to eat. I'm going to eat all the things tonight and just get it out of my system and start over tomorrow. The 20% gets cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. It just becomes simple mistakes that aren't a big deal, that we can learn from, that we don't have to blow everything up else because of it. And I guarantee you, there's a lot of you saying, I'm phase three. I guarantee you that phase three, it's like the 40% is still driving you nuts and you're making it a way bigger deal than it needs to be. And it is like that mindset, judgment and criticism and harshness and crappy story that you have about that 40% is seeping into other mistakes that's keeping you there. You let that shit go, it's not that big a deal. The more that you guys have compassion for yourselves, the more you're going to see weight loss becomes easier and easier. You start mitigating. Like there's what I call our automatic thinking mistakes, where it's just like, I've always overate. It's really hard for me to stop it enough. You're like sitting there eating what your partner made for dinner and the mac and cheese is good. Next thing you know, you've got another serving and you ate it. If that's all you did, you're like, oh, I really need to work on making sure that when, you know, Susie makes the family mac and cheese, that I tell Susie, hey, I love your mac and cheese, and I really love that I'm going to be losing weight eating it. If you'll just help me out, if I want to go get seconds, just remind me that I'm working on one serving, and I'm going to work on it too. Like, if that's what you did, mistakes wouldn't be terrible. This is what happens. Fuck me. Every time Susie makes her baller ass mac and cheese, all I do is overeat. See, tonight I suck. I got two servings. I can't have carbs. That's it. You know what it is? I'm addicted to carbs. Corinne's wrong. Susie, we're going keto tomorrow. Stop making you mac and cheese because you're a food pusher and you're fucking pissing me off. Like, that's kind of about how we react. Even if we don't blow up, we blow up in our mind. We're just sitting there seething and looking at Susie like, that bitch, every time I try to lose weight, she makes my favorite foods. That becomes a problem. That becomes a fuck it eat. That jacks your cortisol up. That has you leaving the meal so jacked up that the rest of the night you're eating cookies to boot. Or tomorrow you're waking up with so much shame from all the shit you said that then you overcorrect and eat like an asshole all day long, restricting and depriving. And then you roll into the night thinking like, man, weight loss is so hard. Just so hard. It's like, it ain't hard. It's that fucking circus in your brain that's making it hard. That's why we work on the circus of your brain. All right, y'all. That's it for today. I hope that this is helpful. I hope these phases will help you. We've taught it in several places inside an OBS. So don't be shocked if you roll up on it one more time somewhere else. It'll be good for you. Also, don't forget, you know, like if you are noticing that you're having a tough time with stopping at enough, or you're having a tough time listening for hunger or the scale, go over to the video replays on the website. Look at the drop-down menu. We have categorized our calls and coaching based on the most common problems that y'all have. Figure out what is like really tripping you up and go listen to stuff that's very targeted. I think one of the best things anybody can do is don't work on changing everything when it comes to your eating patterns. Make a list of all the things that you don't do a good job at, or that if you fix it could make weight loss easier, faster, better. And then pick one, not all, pick one. And then watch those calls like throughout the week. Listen to those specific calls. Let your head only hear those one messages taught a bajillion different times so that you get a new perspective on that. You get new tips and new hacks and all kinds of stuff. All right. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.